Father God, we come once more again into your presence. We thank you, Master, for what you have done, but most of all, what you're doing as you prepare us for eternity.
Yes.
That when we leave this planet, when we leave this world, we come into your presence forevermore.
Yes.
And we see true righteousness, we see the truth, we see everything from your perspective, instead of seeing it from our fallen, sin-sick perspective on this planet.
Yeah.
So Lord, we ask you to give us that understanding right now.
Yeah.
While we are alive.
Yes.
To help us to walk in the power of your Son.
Yeah.
And what he has done on that cross.
Yeah.
Help us to realize we're not losers, but we're winners.
Yeah.
Why are we winners? Because we are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So Lord, open up our understanding today. Let us walk in the newness of who you are and what you have all done from eternity. When you chose to come down and become a man and die for each and every person on the planet that will simply believe and trust your work.
Yeah.
So Lord, we thank you
for
that simple gospel, the death and the burial and the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So Lord, we ask you to open up our understanding today. Renew our minds, renew our thinking to join what you're doing.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to make you join us.
Yes.
Have your way. And we will continue to give you all the praise and the glory.
Yes,
in Jesus' wonderful, magnificent name we pray.
Lord, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now can I get you to stand to your feet as you open your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. The NAS says, have this attitude in yourselves. And I like the King James Version better. It says, let your mind be in you. Which was also where?
In
Christ Jesus. ST this morning, sermon text this morning is, in Christ.
In Christ.
As you stand in the sanctuary this morning, ask yourself, am I in Christ? See, once you got saved, he's in you, but now it's your responsibility to make him be seen through you.
Mm-hmm.
You may be seated. Title of this morning's message is, In Christ.
In Christ.
Are you in Christ?
All right.
See, when you understand what it means to be in Christ, that's going to change everything that you do every day the rest of your life.
Yes.
The day you got saved, God said you are now in Christ.
Yes.
And the problem is, do you believe that?
Believe it.
I like what King James says. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
God said, the day you got saved, I gave you all of my mind and my thinking to do things my way. But I won't make you do it. It starts with a choice.
Yeah.
And it starts with your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So do you understand what it means to be in Christ?
Christ.
I say, do you?
Amen.
Think about it. Everything in your life, every day is telling God what you understand.
Right.
Are you in Christ? Are you living daily in Christ?
Mm.
What does it mean to be in? In is a preposition. It's also an adverb. And it means to be in contained with, to be enclosed with, to be within. When you came into the building today, you came through the double doors at the front of the building, and when you got in the lobby, you are no longer outside, but where were you?
Inside.
In the building.
Amen.
When you went through the double doors and came into the fellowship hall, came into the fellowship hall for Edify lesson. You were no longer outside in the lobby, but you were what?
In
the fellowship hall. When the fellowship hall was over with, when the gathering was over with, you came to the double doors or the doors at the back of the sanctuary, and you came into the sanctuary. You were no longer in the fellowship hall. You were no longer in the hall, but you were where?
In the sanctuary.
In the sanctuary. God said, the day you got saved, I have now seen you as being in Christ.
Amen.
And I'm asking you, do you understand what that means?
Amen.
Every day he asks you, do you understand what it means to be in Christ? Do you understand what it means to be in me and my character? What does Christ mean? Christ means the anointed one. And God asks you every day, are you showing my attributes? If Jesus were to lie, what you hanging out in that area for? Because God's asking you to show his attributes, right?
Amen.
If you are in Christ, you should be showing whose attributes?
Christ's
attributes. God don't want to see you no more because he considers you as dead. What does God the Father want to see?
His son. Yeah.
He that hath the Son, have the life.
Yeah.
He that hath not the Son, have not the life. So let me go over the bullet points this morning. First of all, ST1. In Christ, thinking. The day you got saved, God wanted you to be in Christ thinking. In Christ mindset. Then Romans chapter 12 says, by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
Now let me just do some teaching. Many people think when you say heart, they're talking about the thing inside your chest. God's not talking about that. He said when you're talking about heart, you're talking about your volition and how you think.
Amen.
I'm teaching.
Come on.
See, how you think is your heart. What does the heart symbolize? It symbolizes where your priorities are. It symbolizes what you want to do and put first. It symbolizes where your choices are. That's your heart. What you want is your heart, and where your heart is, that's what your thinking is.
Yeah.
Amen.
So are you thinking right?
Come on.
I say, are you thinking right? God said, the day you got saved, he renewed your mind to no longer think fleshly. He renewed your mind so you no longer think lustfully. You no longer think to disobey God. He gave a renewed spirit. And then let me challenge you. Proverbs chapter 4 tells us what we are to do. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23, NAS translation says, watch over your heart with all diligence. For from it flows the issues, the springs of life. King James Version says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. The NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. God is looking for your part to make sure you let him be seen.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
How do you make that happen? You got to die to self.
Yeah.
The flesh is always going to do things contrary to the spirit. Then Romans teaches that. So now every day you got to make a choice. Am I going to do things to glorify God? Or am I going to do things to glorify the flesh?
Oh, Lord.
It's a choice.
Come on.
All right.
And God allows situations.
Yeah.
God allows the enemy. God allows things to happen to see, like we talked about in Edify Hour, to test to see where is your thinking.
That's it.
Are you going to demonstrate faith? Or are you going to demonstrate unbelief?
Come on.
Ain't no neutral.
Yes,
so are you thinking Christ-like? Because it's in Christ that shows your thinking.
Yeah.
We teach at this church, right thinking will reflect what?
Right action.
Right action. Wrong thinking will reflect what?
Wrong action.
If you want to know what you really like, just follow yourself around and see what you do. You can fool people. Come on church on Sunday morning and be just the holiest person in everybody's sight. Well, let the video camera follow you home.
All right.
Let the camera follow you home when you're not aware that people are seeing. That's the real you.
Amen.
That's the real thinking that God wants to expose that's fighting against him.
Come on.
So ST number two. Do you have in Christ thinking about everything? Think about it. When you chose that last decision that you made, was it the way Christ would have it done? Or is it the way you want to do it?
Oh, Lord.
Are you in Christ?
Come on.
I say, are you in Christ?
Amen.
God is asking you every day. Now, I came across this illustration. For those that are in the Bible study last week, you know that I said this. But I really like this illustration because a lot of us as Christians take on this mindset once we got saved to do what we want. Many of us get saved and many of us become born again, and we're like this demonstration of a marriage couple. See, it's a matter of commitment. So can you imagine this big wedding, and the bride and the groom get married. They have this elaborate wedding, and they have all this celebration, and they have a banquet, and they have food over, and all the people and family and loved ones are around. So after all these things take place, can you imagine the bride coming to the groom and says, "That was a beautiful wedding. I enjoyed being married to you. Now take me home back to my parents or back to my house." Now, can you imagine that? Instead of going with the groom and doing what he wants, then you want to go back to your old lifestyle. Now, don't think that is funny, because that's just what a lot of Christians do. They get saved and they tell the bridegroom, "I don't want to have anything else to do with you. It was a good wedding. Now let me go home." How do you say that? "I want to do what I want." And you don't want to do what God wants. You're telling God, "Take me back to my old ways. Take me back to my old habit." Now, before we close this message out, I wanted to ask you, is that your mindset? Is that the way you really think?
No.
Lord, I thank you for getting married. Now you done brought me into the family of God. Now I want to go back to doing what I want. The day God saved you, he saved you to make you holy. He didn't save you to keep doing what you want. Because everything you want out of yourself is against God. Let me just give a review of some of this past teaching. Write these down if you never have wrote them down before. First of all, God is sovereign. See, if you don't think God is in control, you already think Satan done won.
That's it.
Point number one, God is sovereign. Psalm 103 verse 19. God has established his thrones in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. You think the president, you think the government is in charge? No, God is in charge. And he allows Satan and the enemies to do stuff to get you back on point to have a relationship with him. What's the second thing? God is good. Do you believe God is good? Psalm 107 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Why? Because he's good. And his mercy endured for how long?
Forever.
And I love verse 2 because it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." If you have been redeemed, you ought to be living holy every day. Why? Because you want to please the one that saved you. What is the third thing we need to let it sink in our spirit? Doesn't God love you? Do you believe God loves you? God said, "I love you." How? He says, because in Romans 5 and 8, God demonstrated his love toward us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved you so much, even when you were sticking your finger up to him, tell him, "I ain't going to do what you want," he still said, "I want to die for you." What's the fourth thing we need to let it sink in our spirits and understand? God desires an intimate relationship with you. Do you believe that?
Thank you.
Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I give you rest." Until you get sick and tired of sin, then you're not going to run to the Savior. And God said, that's why there's upheaval in the culture. That's why there's upheaval in society. That's why there's upheaval in your life. Because you ain't going to realize you got problems until you realize you need the Lord. What's the fifth and most important thing? God believes in you and he's pursuing you every day. Psalm 56 and 9 and Romans 8:31 says, "This I know, that God is for me." See, once you let that sink in your spirit, all life adversity is going to change around because you got the right way of thinking. So let's look at this text this morning. First of all, in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we see in the text beginning at verse 11. Romans chapter 6 beginning at verse 11. "Even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin."
All right.
So anytime sin knocks on your thinking, says, "No, don't do this, it's against God. Tell this lie, covet, steal, make an idol," then you telling God, that's dead. Many funerals, we haven't had a whole lot of funerals here at the church, praise the Lord, and I haven't had a lot of members that passed so far. But I want us to remember, dead people don't cuss nobody out. Dead people don't drink no W.L. Willis or tequila or rum, whatever it is. Don't smoke no joint. I ain't never seen no dead person jump up and say, "Give me a hit of that." Why? They did. So God says, as soon as you got saved, you need to consider sinning against him as being dead.
Amen.
Are you dead to him? But, notice that next word? But alive to God. God say, now that you say, I want my life to be lived out through you. If Jesus wouldn't do it that way, then guess what? You have no business doing it that way. Because Jesus wouldn't lie, wouldn't steal, wouldn't covet, wouldn't do any of those things that the Ten Commandments tells us not to do. Now you do it Christ's way. Do it how Christ would have it done. And he says, but alive to God. What's the next two words?
In Christ Jesus.
Next three words are what?
In Christ Jesus.
The next three words say what?
In
Christ Jesus. Amen. Every day you need to ask yourself, am I doing this in Christ Jesus?
Yes.
If Christ Jesus wouldn't cuss them out, come on. Where are you hanging out in that area? If Christ Jesus wouldn't lust after that, why are you hanging out in that area? Because God say, you what? You dead. It's only his son's life that the father wants to see. Look what it says in verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you may obey its lust. Don't you know sin knocks on your life every day? Go ahead. Cuss them out. Go ahead. Hit them. Go ahead. Steal it. It's drawing on your feelings. You deserve that. If you didn't feel that, God wouldn't want you to do without satisfying your feelings, right? That's what does Satan do. He will make you doubt God. You know God don't want you to suffer and have to suffer all them feelings. Go ahead, and let it out. Come on. You know when you're wrestling with your feelings, that's one thing you need to instantly learn to kill. If Jesus wouldn't do it that way, right off the bat,
Amen.
You already know it's going the wrong route.
Oh, Lord.
Why? Because you're obeying the wrong stuff. Where do you see that at? Verse 13. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Now let's do a little test. Is lying righteous or unrighteous?
Unrighteous.
Is stealing righteous or unrighteous?
Unrighteous.
Cussing somebody out, righteous or unrighteous?
Unrighteous.
Stealing the bathroom toilet paper from the church, righteous or unrighteous?
Unrighteous.
You tell God by your actions and your choices and the things you do whether Christ is going to be glorified or is Satan going to be glorified with unrighteousness. Look what it says. But present yourself to God as those, what's that next word?
Alive
from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Where?
To God.
You want to show God every day who's the Lord of your life.
Amen.
Another acronym we have been teaching at this church, PROOF. Practice righteousness, offering of faith. Every day you show God what your faith is and who it is in. By what you do. Verse 14. For sin shall not be master over you. For you are not under the law, but under what?
Grace.
You tell God every day which heading you will go under. Obeying by the law. And the law is going to condemn you. Because you cannot fulfill it. Or you're going to operate by grace.
Yeah.
Which way are you operating?
Grace.
Thank you. Which one are you operating by?
Grace.
Verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? And the Greek word, meganoito, may it never be. Did God save you to keep on sinning?
No.
What's the answer?
May it never be?
No. God did not save you that you can keep on sinning. For people that think it's all right for me to keep on sinning, it's like that bride that as soon as the wedding was over with, let me go back to my old ways. Let me go back to my old parents. Let me go back to my old house. Go back to doing what I used to do. I ain't got to listen to nothing that this groom is telling me to do. Did God save you for that? I said, did God save you for that? Reminds me of this illustration. You know, Pastor likes illustrations. Most unsaved people, you do know that. Did you speak in your character, right? Most unsaved people are bilingual. You know you're sometimes bilingual because they can speak English and they can speak profanity. You demonstrate. Every day of your life, God puts you to the test to see what's coming from you. Where is your character? Where is his righteousness? He's looking to see. Show me. God said, not only am I from heaven, but I'm also showing you Missouri. Show me state. Am I your Lord? Look what it says in verse 16. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slave to for obedience, you are slave to the one whom you obey?
Lord.
Soon as a Christian, you start doing what you think and what you feel, then you're already in a disobedient mode. God tells you to read his word. And you tell him, I don't feel like reading your word. I don't feel like studying your word. Then guess what you just did? Disobey. Because it's only by the word of God that you're going to grow and get stronger.
Yeah.
He says right there, neither of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness.
Yeah.
Every day you tell God what's going on in your heart. And we say your heart is your what? Your thinking. Your mindset. Your priorities. Your desires. That's your thinking. Look what it says in verse 17. But thanks be to God.
Thanks.
That through you were slave to sin. You become obedient where?
From the heart.
From the heart. We say your heart is what?
You're thinking
that from the teachings of which you were committed. Verse 18. And having been freed from sin, you become slaves to righteousness. It ought to be something in you every day. Say, I want to do what you want today, Lord. Three things we have been teaching at this church every day. When you get before your feet hit the floor, say, Lord, do not let me sin against you today. And you do know what sin is, right? Sin is a disease of the soul saying, God, I don't do what you want. We are born in the world with that nature. But God say, what you should be asking is, don't let me sin against you. Second, you need to ask yourself, Lord, let me obey your word. Everything your scripture is guiding me to do, help me obey it. Help me obey it. Help me carry it out. And third, Lord, let me do everything today that's pleasing to you.
Yeah.
Let me put a smile on your face on what I'm seeing, what I'm doing, how I'm responding.
Yeah.
You tell God what's going on inside of you. What's the title of today's message?
In Christ.
In Christ.
Yeah.
And when God the Father don't see Christ, he automatically see who? He automatically see you.
Amen.
See, it's a matter of demonstrating faith. What can teach... In faith, I like this illustration. What can teach kids there's no I in team? What can teach kids there's no I in team? But it always more important to teach them that there is an A in faith. They can do it. God's asking you to demonstrate faith. Stop talking about what I can do. And say, what can God do? God wants to show up through you, and he wants to show you where you are when you'll walk with him. He tests you every day to see if you submitted to him. He tests you to see, are you going to obey him? He tests to see, are you relying on him? He's testing to see, are you going to be trusting him? He's testing to see, are you going to be dependent on him? He's constantly looking to see, is my life now being seen through you? And his life can only be seen when you are dead. That's why it says, be dead to the flesh.
Yeah.
Turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Because you tell God whether you have received a gift or not. You tell God, have you understood the free gift that he has bestowed upon you the day you got saved and infused you with his sinless nature? He says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. What's the next three words?
In
Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah.
The question is, are you in Christ Jesus? Are you? Are you?
Come on.
See, your response says a lot about whether he's in you. Responding in your action, is it in Christ? Speaking in what you're doing, is that in Christ? Doing in everything Christ's way is being in Christ. So let me ask yourself, are you being in Christ or are you being in yourself? Everything will be one of those two. It ain't no neutral. You either will be in Christ or you will be what? In yourself. And he's testing you every day. Now, I like this illustration because as I was studying this message, and we're going to continue on with this series, you telling God right now where to place you as soon as you die and step over to eternity. I'm doing some teaching. You telling God right now how you're living, where to place you in eternity. God said, I'm not determining that. You are. How are you living now? Because how you living now will reveal what and how you will be doing in eternity. Am I helping you? You will be getting exactly what you deserve as soon as you die. Because you're telling God, if you're not a priority now, when you step over into eternity, you're going to get the reward according to where you thought he was a priority then. So don't get mad at God. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter says, wood, hay, and stubble. Gold, silver, precious stone. The stuff that focuses in on flesh and yourself is going to get burned up. The stuff associated with the attributes and the qualities of Christ suffer reward. So you telling God where to place you, and it's a lot of Christians got that same mindset, like that bride that got married and said, now let me go back to my old way.
Amen.
Am I teaching?
Amen.
You telling God right now where you're going to be with your reward. So don't think that it's over. Because you're going to be learning more about God and his attributes and get rewarded by how you live right now.
Amen.
That's why Jesus is trying to get us to see. When you don't put Christ as a priority now, one day there will be a judgment called the Bema Seat. And you will stand before a holy God and you will have to give an account. Everything associated with Christ and his attributes is going to live on forever.
Amen.
Everything else is going to be burned up, wood, hay, and stubble.
Yeah.
Do you really believe that?
Amen.
See, when you step over into eternity, you will either be getting a little reward, or no reward, or a great reward.
Amen.
You telling God what to give you right now. Well, I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to come to church. I don't need to have fellowship. I don't need to forgive. You telling God. Because as soon as this body shuts down, God said, now it's in my hand.
Amen.
I gave you all kind of chances while you were alive to prioritize me. And you prioritize what?
Me.
Me, myself, and I. And God said, now you got to give an account.
Amen.
Learning to be Christ-like, I like this illustration. It says, practice the art of listening is a dying art. So talking... when angry, will always guarantee trouble. Not listening is like the new Sunday school teacher with her class of children praying the Lord's Prayer. And the first child had to be corrected from repeating, Howard be thy name. And the second child had to be corrected because he says, lead us not into Penn Station. And the third child had to be corrected because he said, still another child said, our Father who art in heaven, how did you know my name? Until you learn the word of God and how to apply it, Satan gonna mess your life up. Because Jesus died so that you might get to know him. And when you know somebody, you're gonna do what's pleasing to them, right?
Amen.
When you love somebody, nobody gotta make you do nothing for them. Now, if you don't like them, yeah, it's going to be compelling. But if you love them, nobody got to make you do anything for them. He says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we should instruct him? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. See, brothers and sisters, the day you got saved, you got the very mind of Christ. I'm trying to teach this morning. So Satan has no business getting the upper hand in your life unless you allow it. Look what it says in verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord? That's a good question, isn't it? Does anybody know what God thinks? Does anybody know how God wants things done? Does anybody know all that? Only one person, that's the Holy Spirit. But he says, but we have the mind of Christ. Do you know you have the mind of Christ? I say, do you know you have the mind of Christ? See, when you do things Christ's way, you're going to begin to have the victory of how Christ wants it done. God's looking every day of your life. Am I really first? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So in your choices, in your decision, is Christ really first or you? See, God say, unless it's in Christ, it's the wrong answer. A lot of time, God has to hit the buzzer of our life, and wrong answer. It ain't about you. It ain't about your feelings. It ain't about your situation. It's about Christ. And God allows adversity to see, are you going to be trusting him? One of the issues that came up in the Edify Hour was tithing. A lot of us still haven't got past the idea. It's a simple principle that God put in place for whoever would trust me. And as when I was in DTS, and I remember when Chuck Swindoll I was having a summer class, and Chuck Swindoll was a teacher, and he was saying, we get donations from lost people and saved folk. And he says, what amazed me is the saved folks still are reluctant, but a lot of the lost people, the light has come on. And they've learned that if I would tithe and give offering to DTS or to ministries and churches, I'll become richer. But we got church folk that still you got to squeeze a 10% out of their hand when God say, I will open the windows of heaven.
Come on now.
And it takes faith. See, we still looking at what we see instead of what God say. See, you got to buy. What did God say? If God promised you to open up the windows of heaven, what's going to happen? See, when God bless you, he bless you in all ways. He don't just bless you in finance. And that's our problem. We get too busy looking at how much money and how big the check is.
Yeah, right.
That's just a part of it.
Yeah.
Don't you know the pastor was, the prayer got answered? Because in a little short time after having back surgery, I'm back up and running.
Come on, man.
Now, I haven't completely healed up. But that's an area. See, you can have all the money in the world and still not have your health.
That's right.
See, it's where you place your what? Your priority. Are you in Christ?
Oh, Lord.
I say, are you in Christ?
Yes.
So now we're going to stop this.